So the scripture for tonight is taken from Jeremiah 29. It's verses 11 through 13. I'd like you to listen for the word of the Lord, please. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I know the plans that I have for you to prosper you. Got a couple of questions before I start. How many of you have heard some sayings like this? Without vision, people perish. It's kind of scary. Without a vision, we perish. What about this? The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight, but has no vision. What do you think of that? This is interactive. I don't do preaching from over there. You're not the only one. And partially. So I want to tell you who wrote that. That was actually written by Helen Keller, who was both blind and deaf. But let's take that into context about what our text said. God has a vision for us. And the most pathetic people in the world are ones that have sight but no vision. So I'm trying to think, is there a link between that? Is there a link between people who say they have faith but don't have the vision of God? Does that make them pathetic in God's eyes? Don't know. I've been thinking about this a lot. So let's talk about that famous block of marble again for a minute. It seemed flawed, useless, and cast aside. Every sculptor had looked at it and saw that it was too long, too narrow to be valuable for sculpture, and they laid it aside for 40 years. Have you ever felt like you've been laid aside? Cast aside, maybe said, I'm worthless, I'm not able, not capable. Eyes tell me yes. I think we've all been there. And if you're like me, I want you to take some courage, because God has amazing plans for you, for me, for your family, for my family, for our church family. We've got to have some faith and some trust. So this story continues. The 26-year-old man happened by this marble block, as I talked about earlier, and he saw it very differently. He had a great vision. Inside this formless mass of stone stood the heroic beauty, grace, and power of a man named David. And it's interesting that all he had to do was just release it, to chip away the hard edges. And sometimes it just takes one person to believe that we can do those things, that we can take the hard edges of our life and get them knocked off and refine us and polish us into something that becomes very beautiful. It gives new meaning to, again, a kind of cliche, don't judge a book by its cover. All of us have worth, all of us have potential. And it only takes just one person to see beyond that. I love this story. And there's some meaning for this in my life right now as I thought about how can I tie this idea about vision and being prosperous together. So there's two major things right now that are coming up in my life that make this story so apropos, if you will. One is the fact that the marble sat around for 40 years waiting for someone to see the vision of it. And I get to turn 40 this year. Okay. So, have I been pathetic and sitting around for 40 years waiting for the big vision to hit? The other thing is, in 4 short weeks, kind of along those same lines, this theme of four, I get to finish up a degree that I had started a little over a year ago, which is, you know, again, is this another way of God saying, hey, I'm gonna create for you, I'm gonna open up some new paths and create a new vision for you? So I really like the idea about how God can give us vision, can mold us, can shape us. And I can only hope and dream that this is absolutely true, because if it's not, then it makes what God put into Scripture. If we go back to the Scripture, it makes this a little less meaningful. And we know that every word in that Bible is inspired by God. So this idea of Him wanting to prosper us and not to harm us, to bring us good things. Now, people will say, well, people suffer. And I'm like, boy, I've been tied again and again and again back recently to a song by Laura Story that I played for us a few months ago when we were here, talking about sometimes God's blessings come in the thousand sleepless nights and in the rain and in the storms. Maybe those are God's blessings in disguise for us. It is said that we are not limited by our current circumstances. We're only limited by our vision for what can be. A vision is not just a picture of what could be. It's an appeal to better ourselves, to call or become something more. Isn't this exactly what God's asking us to do? To view ourselves and those around us in a much bigger light? To maybe push each other to become more than what we are now? Because maybe you see potential that someone else doesn't, or maybe they don't have enough faith or belief in themselves. And all it takes, again, is that little nudge. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Again, it goes back. Let's talk about Helen Keller and what her dreams were. Here's a woman back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. She's blind and she's deaf. Probably doesn't feel like she has much of a future. It only took one person. It took her teacher coming alongside of her, Ann Sullivan's vision for this young woman, and her determination to help break through this isolation. And once she broke through, Helen was unstoppable. She became a prolific author. She went on to give lectures, to be a political activist for numerous different things. She was remembered being an advocate for people with disabilities. She was a suffragist, fought for women's rights. I'm not so sure I necessarily like the radical socialist side of her, but even back in those times, she fought for the same stuff that we're fighting for today. You know, pro-life, pro-choice. So she was a very strong proponent for birth control. Hard to believe that they were even talking about those things back in, you know, 1901, 1902. But they were already talking about it. So how is Jesus any different than her teacher? He took a ragtag group of men. Probably didn't have a whole lot of vision for themselves. They're like, I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to go fish. Or, I mean, yeah, he had a few educated people in there. He had a doctor. But most of them probably didn't have a vision beyond getting in their boat and making sure it didn't leak and sink out in the middle of the sea. You know, can I mend my nets? And I'm going to be able to provide for my family. But he took them in. He saw beyond what they were now. He was able to knock off the rough edges and turn them into a force that changed the world. It defeated armies. It defeated whole empires by a thought, by a vision of something better. So I think, are we able to do those same things today? Could we do that here? Could we create a vision for this place that would change the world? And where does the world start? Yeah, world starts right here. Doesn't have to be. Not that going to Haiti is a bad thing. Not that going on a mission trip is a bad thing. The world can start right here. How can we change this place and create a vision that changes us? That allows us then to go to the Hades of the world, to a hurricane or a tornado disaster area and help, to a flood area. All of those things occur right here, right in our own backyard, every day. How is it that the vision of this place or the vision that you have potentially could change this place, could change me? Strange things to ponder. Some of you may have heard of the man called Darren Hardy. He is a very big proponent of and speaker on success. I got a great deal of exposure to him in my classes, and I actually get his weekly newsletter now that talks about how can people be successful, how can organizations be successful. And recently he wrote, you can change your future by simply changing your vision for it. Meaning that you and I and everybody else around here are responsible for the future of this place. And the future doesn't have to be an unknown. We can create that future by simply planning for it. You know, we had a future for a new building. And it's there. We created our own future. So I want to challenge each of you tonight as we look at ways that God would prosper us, to think about how does God take what we have, the gifts that I have, the dreams that I have, and make them God-sized. Nothing that I can do or you can do, I don't want to say it can't compare to what God's ideas are for me, but I think our ideas collectively are bigger than what you or I would come up together. And I'm, you know, at the beginning of this year, we talked about, Caleb talked about having a word for the year. What is your word for the year? If you had to pick one thing to describe your whole year, what would it be? What is your vision? What's your focus for the year? I don't know if anybody else did that here other than myself. But I want you to take a minute and think about it. If I had to pick one word for what would kind of try to summarize my whole year, what would it be? Does anybody have a word? I'm sorry? Gratitude. Making that a part of your life every day. That's a great word. Did anybody else do that? Love. Anybody else have a word? Hope. Steve. Okay. The action side of forgiveness, both in receiving and in giving. Mine was courage. You could take that a bunch of different ways. You know, courage to see beyond myself, courage to look inside myself, things I don't like, courage to change.
Balance.
Those are all really great words. So on top of those words, I want to ask you guys, oh, you have a word, Brendan?
Strength.
That's a great word for you, especially since a year ago, where were you? Yeah, you were in the hospital. And we were really scared that you weren't going to come home. Yeah. Those are all great words. So courage and vision. So how do we now take the thoughts that we've kind of summed up here? God has a great plan for us. The visions of Michelangelo's marble block. Kind of look at this building, and it's kind of square. It's kind of got stone all over the outside of it. Some people maybe say it wouldn't, isn't that pretty. How do we transform what we do here every day into something that is completely beautiful? So I challenge you to think about those things. These are strong ideas. How do we go and talk about vision and courage and changing ourselves in the way we perceive others? How do we progress beyond that? Use our hopefully, some of you that don't have a word for the year, I'd encourage you, please, spend some time, think about it. Find a word that you think would define what you want your 2011 to be about. Then maybe think about, how does that maybe tie into my vision? Vision's way different than a mission. You know, the church has a great mission statement that I had up here on the very first slide. Come on. If I can get back to it, I apologize. So we've got a great mission statement. To be a Christ-centered community drawn together by the Holy Spirit to experience, express, and expand God's love through Jesus Christ. It's a great mission statement. But vision is different than this. Vision is the actions that we do. It's the driving force. How do we tie a vision to being able to do that? Interesting thoughts to ponder. So I would encourage you to do that. Spend some time. Think about it. Don't be afraid. And if you are afraid, there's lots of great resources around here. There's friends. There's lay leadership. Stephen Woodward, great resource. Wonderful guy to talk to. Pastor Steve. Cheryl Brown, who's our lay leader for the district. There's lots of great people we can talk to about how do we face the challenges and create a place where we can all become more than we are today. And collectively, we can change the world. We can start right here and change this place. So, I'd encourage you to do that. In God's name, amen.